Well, first of all, the first thing we want to say is we love London. How many times have we been to London? We've been to London so many times.
Approximately 2,371 times.
That's pretty much it. And they just had this horrible shooting, horrible sort of crisis. They're stabbing, I guess it was, a stabbing and
then
shooting.
I don't know. It was just something terrible. And we love London, and we hate it when these sorts of things happen. But
and we really hate it when they happen, and we're not there.
I know, because usually we
precipitate them.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 537, We Love London. Of course, it shouldn't even have to be said. It should go without saying, but we love London. Reed Martin and I have so many friends and RSC colleagues who live there, and it's a privilege whenever we get to go there. So when a man attacked the Palace of Westminster near the Houses of Parliament last week, we were, of course, concerned for everybody we know and everybody who might have ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time. In addition to our performers who live and work in London, Reed and I and our families have happened to be in London during previous attacks on the nation's capital and other moments of national importance. So we wanted to talk about those times and applaud our British brethren and sistern. One editorial note. You'll hear me in a few minutes tell a story involving a bouncer at a strip club. When I told the story when we were recording, I misspoke and I said a bouncer at a sex shop. Easy mistake. I mean, if I had a nickel. So just know that when you hear me say a bouncer at a sex shop, I mean a bouncer at a strip club. I do beg your pardon.
I mean, I remember when we first started playing the Arts Theater in 1992, there was a wave of sort of IRA bombings. Is that right?
Yeah. As I recall, there was one block up the street from the Arts Theater.
Half a block, just like in the opposite corner, that pub that's right there on that corner.
Yeah. And so, you know, this was going on, and they, you know, Londoners just keep doing what Londoners do. I admire them.
There's a reason that poster, Keep Calm and Carry On, has you know, gained such currency.
What is that reason?
They keep calm and they carry on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realize I had to explain that quite so much. Yeah, I mean, they've been through the Blitz, after all. I mean, they
do drink a lot.
They've not gotten blitzed. They've also been through the Nazi Blitz.
Yes.
They have kept their upper lips stiff.
Yes.
And they
congratulations.
Yes, you're welcome. Without the aid of pharmaceutical aid, they have and they just soldier on. I mean, I remember when those bombings first happened, and they would close the Northern Line down. I know we've joked about this. He says,
right.
Well, the Northern Line is always going down. So what's that? How does this make this any worse or any different? But you know, I was nervous there for a while, and then it becomes sadly part of the experience of being in London.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore, you know.
But, you know, and then we were there. We've seen, you know, so that was 92. Then 5 years later, we're performing the Bible at the Gielgud Theater.
Yeah.
And we wake up one morning and we says, you better turn on the news, and Princess Diana has died. It's not the same thing, but it's just another huge event.
Well, and it's a national event that...
A national tragedy.
A national tragedy where the entire country, everybody underestimated the reaction that event would cause.
Except for my wife, Jane. She knew.
Jane knew, because the staunch royalist that she is, Irish royalist that she is.
Yes, as they are.
No, and we were there for that whole thing where the country just shut down and came to a standstill. And it was really kind of fascinating and wonderful to see. Not that wonderful that she died, but wonderful. I mean, it was just see that British spirit you hear about in Generations and you've seen in movies, of everybody sort of coming together and all classes of society coming together to memorialize this woman and what she represented and sort of, the new wave of what the royal family could be, you know, as we got towards the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century, and you know, and her passing meant so much to so many people. I remember we were staying in Soho Square because we were playing at the Gielgud, which is on Shaftesbury Avenue, and Soho is famously, historically, going back hundreds of years, historically kind of a raunchy district, a raunchy area.
And that was our fault, too.
Yeah, that was also our fault, you know, with sex shops and strip clubs and
And the Reduced Shakespeare
Company. Living there. And, Quincy, I'm not sure Campbell was born, but Quincy was like 13 months old in 97. So Dee, my wife, tells this story of she's walking, pushing Quincy in his pram around Soho, and she passes one of the sex shops, and there's a policeman talking to the bouncer outside, and the policeman is saying, "Well, how's business?" And the bouncer goes, "Oh, no, people aren't coming in here, mate." And the policeman goes, "Yeah, it's always the arts that suffer."
It is an art.
It's the oldest art you can
Well, argue. And, you know, so we're performing in the West End, and, you know, all the producers got together and said, the day of the funeral, we probably shouldn't perform.
Yeah, all the producers but one.
Well, we didn't do the matinee.
No, we did the matinee.
No, I thought we didn't do the matinee, but we did the evening show.
No, we did the matinee because we were on exactly when the memorial was happening, exactly during the day.
Oh, okay.
And so we had 12 people in the Gielgud Theater coming to this. We were the only show running on the West End that afternoon, the afternoon of the memorial. Many shows came back that night.
Yeah. But, well, you know, Americans.
Americans. Well, yeah, like we have no respect anyway. But, you know, but it was, again, it pointed to, I think, a little bit the value of kind of what we do, because we didn't want to be up there and making our little jokes and being disrespectful. And yet the 12 people that were there all came up to us afterwards in the lobby and said, thank you so much for doing this. We needed this break.
It felt a little bit like when, not related to London, but similar, when we after 9/11, just shortly after, a few weeks, we had a performance of The Complete History of America abridged, and we just thought, should we be, you know, gently mocking and celebrating American history at this point? And the reaction in the lobby was the best it's ever been. People said, thank you so much. Yeah. We needed this kind of break from everything.
Yeah, we needed, you know, sometimes you need the—well, it's black humor, right? It's dark humor. It's the thing that gets you through those dark times.
Yeah.
Well, and the Brits are particularly good at that sort of dark black humor.
Yeah.
I think maybe more so than the Americans historically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's just really nice. You'd see the queues for Princess Diana, you know, up and down, because people just come from all over the country and to pay their respects.
Yeah,
you know, and there would be moments of silence, and there would be, you know, during the memorial, moments of silence, except for our nonsense going on at the Gielgud.
Well, I remember after the show, you know, we're not partiers; we usually just go home. But during this time, I'd go home and get Jane, just a few blocks from the theater, and then we'd walk down to Buckingham Palace or St. James Park, and just to experience this sort of historic outpouring of grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was lovely. There's something really remarkable about the British spirit. Anyway, we just wanted to memorialize that this week.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and I'm on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I don't know what that means, but if it helps you to go and see them, because they're super, please do.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, we are actually performing in London. Joe Maudsley, Matt Pearson, and James Percy will perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged at Wilton's Music Hall. This will be the London premiere of Long Lost Shakes, hashtag Long Lost Shakes. And if you follow us on Twitter, at Reduced, you will have already seen some of the amazing responses these guys have been getting up and down the country. Don't miss their 5 performances at Wilton's Music Hall, because then they take a break of a couple of weeks and return with performances in Richmond, Musselburgh, Annick, Goole, Leeds, Torquay, Hartford, Bedford, Oxford, Stroud, Thornsbury, Milton Keynes, Stoke-on-Trent, Porthcawl, Worcester, York, Eastbourne, Woking, Derby, Folkestone, and Bromley. In the U.S., you can see Reed and I, along with Teddy Spencer, perform Long Lost Shakes in Reston, Virginia, Waukegan, Illinois, Flint, Michigan, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and at the Virginia Arts Festival in Norfolk, Virginia. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader or email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Then, of course, we were in London on 7/7, the bombings on July 7th, 2005, which was wild. We were there to rehearse the Hollywood show. We weren't even there to perform, and we had landed the day previous, July 6, 2005, the day that London had been awarded the Olympics for 2012. And so the country was insane with in celebration that this is happening. And we were driving, our taxi was taking us right around Trafalgar Square just as the main thing had been announced and people were going insane. And so you went from this high of that announcement to the next morning, the bombing happening on 7-7, and then everybody going, wait, what's going on? What is this? And I could walk to where we were rehearsing, but you were on the tube, weren't you?
Yes, I was on the line where the bombing was. I left to get onto the tube. It was a close walk. And we got down there, and we sat on the tube, and we sat. And that happens sometimes. Yeah. The train breaks down or whatever. And then I don't remember how long it was, but it was long enough that you said, this isn't normal. And right. They said, no, we need to clear the station. Yeah. And so then I was trying to figure out how to get to rehearsal. They didn't say what was going on, and they probably shouldn't have.
Right.
And so, and of course, everybody was getting taxis. It was very hard to get. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they
And you didn't have a cell phone.
No, yeah. They didn't have a cell phone. And that was in the days, I think smoke signals were probably the main thing,
yeah.
The main way people communicated.
And telegraph, yeah.
Yeah. And so if I'd known what was going on, I think when I was looking for a taxi, I literally walked past our apartment, our flat, where we were staying. So I would have told Jane, I'm fine, I'm heading to rehearsal.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything was wrong.
Right.
I think I started to walk and kept trying to hail a cab, and finally I was able to when I got to rehearsal and found out. In the meantime, while I was trying to get there, Jane was calling the rehearsal hall because what was the main station where the explosion was?
Was it King's Cross?
King's Cross.
Yeah.
And that's where we got off to walk to. It was the Welsh Center. Weren't we rehearsing at the Welsh Center?
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, 5-10 minute walk from there. And so, no, Reed hasn't arrived. So Jane, naturally, is very, very worried.
Yeah, sure.
And so,
we talked to her, and I talked to her, and I said, I'm sure he's trying to figure out how to get one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got there, and then I was able to call home and say, no, I'm here and it's fine. But Jane had a tense hour or two where she was very, very worried.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was another, you know, I was walking there and I thought, boy, this is noisy. I'd forgotten how noisy big cities are with all the sirens going on. And I didn't, you know, I had no idea until we got there and started listening to the news. And there weren't as many smartphones, as you were saying, back then. So people weren't checking their phones going, what's going on?
Yeah.
But again, talk about, you know, whatever, the national resilience or something. I think it was the next day they had a moment of silence at noon, I guess, throughout London and I think maybe throughout the country. And I think we stepped outside from rehearsal.
We definitely did. Yeah. I remember this. Everybody from all the houses and businesses and offices all up and down the road, everybody came out.
And traffic stopped. Buses pulled over.
Yep. And the sidewalks, nobody went into the street, but everybody came to the edge of the curb.
Yep.
And it was several people deep all up and down the road. And I think it was 1 minute or 2 minutes of just silence. And it was stunning.
Yeah, and I loved the silence, too, because it was a moment of silence, a memorial for the people who had died in the attack. And it seemed to me like an enormous middle finger up to people who try to bring chaos.
Yeah.
You know, just a middle finger saying, you know, the hell with you. We're going to go on. You can't stop us, you know. And of course, that's what, you know. All right, I won't get political. I was just about to get political. Now, screw it. I will get political. They want to cause chaos. They want everybody to go, oh, we've got to fight them. We've got to start demonizing Arabs and Muslims and blah, 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 blah. Or whoever. Yeah. Whoever. You know, they're trying to figure out now the motive of this guy who attacked, you know, Westminster last week. And Stephen King tweeted, well, he's crazier than a rat in a rain barrel. Let's start there, you know, in terms of motive.
Yeah. It's insanity.
Yeah, there's no point in ascribing motive. And of course, but, you know, we're talking about, you know, Reed and I have been at so many of these events when they've happened. But of course, the Reduced Shakespeare Company and our UK actors live there. You know, so they've been there, and they were the ones who on 9/11 decided we're not good. That was a Tuesday. They said, well, we're not going to do the America show that night. They did another performance of the Shakespeare show, and I think they might have not done the America show for like the next
one or two Tuesdays later is when they started to do that again. You know, they've been there for all of this. And in fact, our guys, our current UK, RSC UK guys, are going to be performing this week in London at Wilton's Music Hall. I think they're doing five performances or something. They've been all around the country. It's a 50-city, well, you hear me every week say what it is. It's a 50-city tour. But they're doing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, in London, which is, so I feel kind of, well, I don't feel great that the attack happened, but I feel great that we're coming back to London and we're saying, you know what, let's come and laugh. Let's do some comedy.
Yes, let's wreak our own havoc.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. Send us your Anglophile tributes via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to Duchess of Park Ridge, Matthew Croak. Web services by Ginger Power Limited. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to George Face. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Nicholas Parsons. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 537 1611ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. So I guess the only thing left to say is that if you want to do what you can to show support, come see us at the Wilton's Music Hall this week as a show of patriotism. If you don't come see us, the terrorists win.
I did not know that was coming, and I did not approve that line.
Keep calm and comedy on.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.